see any names in here that, we haven't talked about. I wish I could run that so that you could talk to them.
Well, it's, I think we've got most of the story,
I believe so.
His daughter mentioned once, seeing him point to, when he's playing semi-pro, point to the flagpole and calling a shot on home run, asking about his hitting. Especially that about where in semi-pro he pointed to the flagpole and
said, do you remember where that was?
Is in Ossining.
All pitchers not only like to talk about their pitching, but I never saw one yet that didn't like to talk about his hitting. You tell us something about your hitting.
My hitting?
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, now you're talking.
Yeah.
When I was up, when the year 1915, I went to St. Louis Browns.
Yeah, talk to him over there.
1915, I went to St. Louis Browns. I was the best hitter in the International League, all including the whole league, because I only pitched about 30 games, and my average is over 400, but the average ball player plays every day. They could never top that. They never could hit over 300. But I was over way up over 400, and that was the year I went to St. Louis Browns, 1950.
And that was with Rochester in the International League.
I was in the International League. Yeah, I went from there to the Browns.
Now, when you pitched and you when you hit in semi-pro, when you were playing for Ossining, another little bird told me something about you. You pointed to the flagpole. Now, would you tell us about that?
Oh, I was the best hitter in that league, too. I hit over 500 in that league. Of course, we only played one game, a twilight game. It was a twilight league this way.
Yeah.
And they gave prizes that whoever hit had the highest score in hitting would get a brand new custom-made suit. So I got the blue shirt suit. That's my hitting. I had a good left-hander. And then in Rochester, I was the best hitter there, too.
Well, do you remember when you were playing with Ossining, pointing to the flagpole and where you were going to hit the ball? Your daughter told us about that. Now, she remembers it. Maybe you don't, but she says she was a little girl there, and she saw you point at the flagpole, and then you hit a ball right out there where you pointed, something like Babe Ruth did. Do you recall that?
I don't know. I think Eva got the story wrong. The flagpole. There wasn't a flagpole in deep left field. Wasn't a flagpole. People get the story a little twisted.
Well,
in left field, there was a big buttonball tree. And I got up there. We were one run behind in that game. I get up there and I hit that ball in the buttonball tree. I got a whole bunch.
Now, this was in Ossining?
Ossining, yeah. Sammy Brolet.
Well, your daughter was just a little girl, and
you got this? She forgot about that. She thought it was a flagpole. It was a tree. I had it. It was way out left field.
Did you point to it first?
Did I what?
Do you remember pointing to it?
Saying what?
Do you remember pointing to the tree where you hit the ball? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
Okay, that's fine.
She must be thinking about the Washington game that I told her about. That guy hit the Bo Durn sign, remember, he pointed his finger. He's the only one pointing his finger. Uh-huh. I never pointed my fingers.
Okay.
Okay, I think we've got some good shots. Good.
Well, there you have the little talk that Jim Riley and I, Ren Spear, had with Chet Huff. In case any of you are trying to look up the record of Hal Chance or Frank Chase, I doubt very much if you'll find it in any baseball encyclopedia.